This is 90.3.
This is Dear FM.
I'm absolutely honoured. I'd like to introduce my guest, Professor Tim MacDonald. I'm absolutely delighted to you joined us on Near FM this morning, Professor. How are you?
Oh, delighted to be on. It's useful to talk to your visitors. Nice to hear your listeners.
Thank you. Well, welcome. Now, you're going to chat about COPD, and I was telling our listeners that is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And that some people don't even know that they might even have that. I know that smoking and dust and things like that, but can you tell us a little bit more about this, about COPD, please?
Yeah, the name is slightly awkward. COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. It's what we used to refer to as chronic bronchitis and emphysema, which are more, I suppose, pathological terms. Mm-hmm. So it's a very common disorder. Your listeners mightn't be aware that it's the most common cause of acute medical admission to our hospitals. We think there's about 380,000 people living with COPD in Ireland, but we would reckon that only 270,000 of them are probably aware that they have this disorder. A large amount of patients are just simply not aware of it. The two problems that it causes are, one, breathlessness, and two, what we call exacerbations or sometimes infections, where the disease gets acutely worse and the patient needs to take steroids, antibiotics to get better, by seeing their GP, sometimes going to the emergency department, or sometimes even needing to be admitted to hospital. And as I mentioned, there's a large amount of admissions to our hospitals, 15,000 a year, and unfortunately 1,500 patients a year die of the disorder, so it's a serious enough disease.
Oh my goodness. Does it affect, I'm looking at a chart here, A, B and C, A for age 35 and over. Does this disease get worse as you get older?
It does. It gets more common as you get older, and unfortunately the disease tends to be somewhat progressive. But if you can avoid things that cause it to progress, particularly exposure to smoke, including cigarette smoke and vaping, exposure to dust, and repeated exacerbations can make the disease worse as well. So the simple thing is avoiding dust and getting the disease properly managed can help arrest the progression of the disease. But you're right, it is certainly much more common as you get older. And the ABC business is really those patients who are getting breathless when they're in the middle age. So, and patients who get breathless at that stage sometimes just think it's part of the aging process. You know, people tend to take as much exercise as they did. They don't push themselves, and they just think they're getting old and put up with getting breathless.
Right.
And then the C is for a cough. If you have a persistent cough with or without phlegm, you know, it's possible that you've got COPD, and you should see about getting checked out.
I beg your pardon. This is all fascinating. Yes. Oh my goodness.
The test that really we would, you know, recommend that patients would get is a thing called spirometry. Unfortunately, like a lot of things in the health service, it's not as widely available as it should be. But, you know, the HSE is aware of this and is trying to roll out availability to GPs in the community through primary care hubs and that. Spirometry is a relatively simple test. The patient breathes into a machine, and that checks the capacity of the lungs. And that gives you a diagnosis of COPD. We would see that the ability to breathe out diminishes as the disease progresses. So patients who are middle-aged or older, who have breathlessness, who have a cough, they should certainly go and get themselves checked out.
Okay, now, I got the COVID and the flu injection the other day. Does that help the lungs prevent anything? I haven't got the pneumonia. I've never had that
vaccination. Yeah.
Yes, excuse me. Thank you for helping me there. I've never had that. Would they help in any way?
Yes, they're very important for patients with COPD, particularly. But in fact, as you know, the COVID and flu vaccine is important for anybody, even with good lungs. You don't want to get COVID. We're seeing in hospitals now a number of patients who've got long COVID, and some of the symptoms related to long COVID can be related to long-term lung damage. So you certainly don't want to be getting COVID, and the flu, you know, is a serious enough disease as well. So we certainly recommend for anybody with any underlying lung disease, that they would get the flu vaccine every year, that everybody, of course, should be getting the COVID booster shots. And then the pneumonia vaccination, you only need to get once, at least every 5 years. You don't need to get it every year. It's a vaccine that helps prevent pneumonia. It doesn't work against all types of pneumonia, but it cuts down the type of pneumonia you can get. And it's well worth getting for patients who've got COPD.
I know that cigarettes, and I never smoked, but one of my, my mom did smoke, not much, but it did affect her, but my youngest aunt and my uncle was never without a cigarette, and I think she suffered smoke from him, and I assume smoking is... It's no good at all for anybody's health.
Well, smoking is bad generally, but particularly when you talk about COPD, a lot of patients who've got COPD have a smoking history. But we know a lot of patients who have COPD, have stopped smoking. We think about 30% of patients who, at the time of diagnosis, aren't smokers, and 10% never were. But things like chronic asthma can give rise to COPD. Exposures to childhood infections, low birth weight. There's a number of factors that can also feed into giving your COPD, some genetic factors as well. So it's not just simply about smoking. And a lot of patients who've got COPD were smokers in the time when smoking was much more socially acceptable. But certainly, if you have any lung disease and if you're at risk or think you might have COPD, smoking is certainly something you need to avoid. And vaping as well.
And that's the thing, that when people want to come off cigarettes, they use this vaping machine, is it?
Well, this is an area of huge controversy. Just to divert for a second, but vaping, is probably not as dangerous as smoking. So some people have been saying, well, listen, if you're smoking, get off it and try vaping to get off. And some patients have quit by going on to vapes, but that doesn't mean to say that vapes are in any way safe. They're not, and of course they've been pushed by the same people who push cigarette smoking. A lot of the big tobacco companies own the vaping manufacturers and vaping suppliers, so they're trying to get you another way. It's really nasty carry on. Mm-hmm. And of course they're aiming at young people with the different flavours of vapes. There's all sorts of flavours available. And the recent thing has been the development of a single-use disposable vapes, which, are a bit cheaper, again, to make them more accessible to young people. And it's a very nasty kind of going on, because a lot of people who start off, for instance, taking vapes will go on to cigarette smoking or just get hooked on vaping.
Oh,
and it's not by any means a completely safe alternative to cigarette smoking. It may be better than cigarette smoking, but not in any way totally safe.
Oh my goodness. And have you any, I'm reading a notice here that a lot of people are not aware that they might even have a COPD. Apart from going to the doctor, which I will go to get the flu, pneumonia, but is there a way that they can go and find, have you got videos up?
Well, we have COPD Support Ireland has a website, copd.ie, and in conjunction with World COPD Day, which is this Wednesday, we're launching on Wednesday a series of videos on the website that patients can look at. And these videos have things such as what is COPD, how do you treat it, what sort of things you can do to protect your lungs, general advice on exercise, all that sort of thing. There's a number of things that patients can do if they have lung disease apart from the vaccination. We mentioned that patients who have chronic lung disease shouldn't let infections settle in on the lungs. They should get early treatment for chest infections. And some patients with COPD, we recommend, should have a course of antibiotics and steroids to hand at home to treat infections when they get them. But we also are very strongly enthusiastic about exercise for patients with COPD. There's a formal program which incorporates exercise that a lot of primary care centres now are beginning to roll out with pulmonary rehabilitation, and we know this benefits patients with COPD enormously. But even if you don't go into a pulmonary rehabilitation group, everybody with chronic lung disease should exercise. And what I tell my patients to do is that every day they should walk for 30 to 45 minutes and walk vigorously, or as vigorously as they can manage, to get breathless, not overextend themselves, don't get over breathless, but get a degree of breathless. That helps you clear your lungs of secretions and helps you use your lungs better. So it's very, very useful for patients with chronic lung disease and COPD.
And walking. About swimming or anything like that? No?
Swimming is good, but you know, you don't have to over-elaborate. And the big thing about walking is you can leave the front door of your house, and you've got the only choice you have to do there is turn right or turn left.
Yes.
And whereas swimming is an element of you've got to go to the swimming pool.
Mm.
And with going to the gym is similarly, you know, in the middle of winter or if it's dark or whatever, it's very hard sometimes to do these things. But just get out of your house, wrap up well, get out for 30 to 45 minutes and exercise. Walk. Simple.
Walk. Absolutely walk. I have a yoga teacher I've been going to for 35 years, and all he ever says is walk. So
yeah.
coming from you, Professor, I take that as being the Bible. The other thing that I said earlier that a lot of people don't know that they have COPD. It's just extraordinary.
I think it is. I mean, as I mentioned already, it's a hugely common disorder. We don't know exactly how many people in this country have it, but we know from figures from other countries that at least 380,000 people have it. Some figures go higher than that, but one way or another, a lot of people don't know they have the disorder. And as we mentioned, if you're getting into middle age, if you're getting short of breath, if you have a cough, then you probably should get yourself checked out. And, you know, certainly while you're waiting to get checked out, give serious thought to if you're a smoker, to stopping smoking. And there's lots of assistance for you know, the HSE has a help site, there's a bit on the website about it. And, you know, it is hugely important. And the thing again about cigarette smoking, what I tell my patients is that, you know, you may try and fail, but you've got to get up back on the horse and try again and keep trying. And it may be the 14th or 15th time that you succeed. And I always ask my patients who stop smoking, how do they manage it? What was their secret? And it just varies. Some people say that, you know, they tried umpteen times and it worked on the 20th time, if you like. Or some people say that, you know, for whatever reason, somebody's mentioned something to them about it and it just clicked. But you've got to keep at it. And, you know, there's no unfortunate magic cure. The things that can help you, nicotine patches, for instance, can help with addiction. But to a lot of people who smoke, there's a habit with it. And, you know, you're having a cup of coffee and suddenly you find that you're smoking. So those things are very difficult to break. But, you know, patients need to continue to try, and don't feel guilty if they fail. Just
yes,
try again. And don't put up with any nagging from relatives or whatever. Keep at it, and at it.
You just hit something there, because I have a wonderful sister. We're very close. But as Oscar Wilde said, women will only call each other sisters after calling each other every other name under the sun. The importance of being earnest. But anyway, and so we're going to a wedding in February. My youngest niece getting married. And she said, "Now, Mari, you got to, you know, you're overweight. Does being overweight, it doesn't help, does it?"
No. People who are overweight may feel the cigarettes help them lose a bit of weight, but really, again, it's part of the struggle. There's so many things. Once you stop smoking, your taste for food improves.
Oh.
And obviously, you're going to eat a bit more. And you've got to watch that. So it's a good point to remind people if they are quitting smoking. They may need to, if they're conscious about the weight, just to keep an eye on it.
What about our damp climate? Does that help? That doesn't help us at all in any way, does it?
Sorry, which part?
I beg your pardon, Professor. Our climate is damp.
Oh, sorry, yes. We have a problem. We have one of the highest rates of respiratory illness in Europe in terms of hospital admissions and things like that we know about. and some of it probably relates to the cold, damp air. We know cold, damp air is more likely to make you wheeze if you have a tendency to wheeze, and we certainly have a lot of it here. But again, no matter what happens with climate change, we're going to have a cool and damp climate for quite some time to come, and it's not one of those things that can really change, but we have to put up with it. And as I say, when you go out for your walk, as I've been recommending, wrap yourself up well. If necessary, put a scarf over your mouth to try and keep the cold, damp air out of it as you start to mouth breathe a bit more. But we have to live with the cold, damp climate. It's unfortunate. We can't prescribe 2 weeks in Lanzarote for any of our patients.
No.
But, you know, certainly living in a place like Lanzarote might be better for you if you have lung disease. Yeah.
Can I just ask one last question? Do you have to have a cough to have a COPD? Can you have the other, you know,
That's very interesting, because the cough tends not to do any harm to the patient, or doesn't tend to bother them too much. And I know from talking to my patients, I often ask them about, do you have a cough? And they say, oh, I have to clear my chest first thing in the morning. And then more or less it might imply that, well, doesn't everybody? And of course, everybody doesn't. But they get used to the cough. And it's a little bit like the breathlessness. They get used to being short of breath, get used to having a cough, and may not actually perceive themselves as having a significant cough at all.
Well, I have to say, Professor Tim MacDonald, it's been fascinating having you on this morning, and I want to hear more, but our time is getting a bit short here. And I want to not just ask questions, I want to interrogate you nicely now, I have to say. But it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Near FM.
Thanks
this
so much
morning.
For having me.
No, it's been, and I will talk to you again, and hopefully you will come back again, probably, you know, late February. And just to remind our listeners, because the shocking thing you said at the very start, where a lot of people don't even know that they have COPD, is a little shocking, and I won't say any more. Thank you for being on this morning and giving us your time, and hope to chat very soon.
If I could plug the COPD.ie website one more time.
Please, please.
So it's www.copd.ie. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining. Many thanks. Bye now. Thank you.
Bye,
Professor.
Near FM.